everyone. Welcome to the Code 3 Paranormal Podcast. You guys are supposed to say hello.
Hello.
That's like the hello.
Point of
hello.
This. yeah, so today we have back Austin.
Hello.
And the boy.
Hello.
Hello. And I'm Troy Mackey, your hostess with the mostest. That is so bad. But I had to do it. I think I did it one other time like 40 episodes ago. So here we are. This one is Landon, the boy's choice. He's gotten hooked into this big time. And I've loved it forever. I think the story is great. It's also portrayed in one of my favorite movies, which is Without a Paddle. And that's what they do. They go after D.B. Cooper's treasure and they're a bunch of friends. And so that's what today is. D.B. Cooper. The conspiracies and the myth behind the legend, I guess how would you put it? So, yeah, Landon, this is your show, bro. I'm letting you run with this, and we're just here for the good time. So, go ahead and start us off. Give everyone who is D.B. Cooper? What is the story?
So, D.B. Cooper, he
what year?
1971.
Okay.
So he went on a plane and he gave a note to a waitress saying that he had a bomb on him and he wanted to talk to the pilots. And so he told the pilots to tell the FBI that he wanted $200,000 and 4 parachutes. And so he had a whole flight path. No one knows where he went, jumped off the plane. And
that's it. we'll get it going. Yeah. No, that's fine. That works. So, yeah, there it is. So, great episode. Join us next time. No. So yeah, 1971. Where's he leaving from? He's leaving from Portland, Oregon, to Seattle, Washington, and essentially, he ends up kidnapping it. And what's funny about this, and we'll kind of go in order of it. He hands the female stewardess, a letter. What does she do immediately with that? She puts it in her pocket.
Mm-hmm.
Because
she gets thousands of letters a day. That's what they did in the 70s.
Exactly. Back in the day, stewardess were like the hot thing. Every dude wanted a stewardess. They were cute, smart. I mean, and so they're always being hit on. So they just, whatever. They got notes all the time. So she puts it away. And then he had to like re-get her attention and was like, yo, no, you need to read this one. And so she does. And then essentially, yeah, he's now asking for 4 parachutes. And what was his other demands? How much was it?
200,000.
Which, from what I understand today, is $1.3 million as of 2021. So probably with inflation this last year, it's probably $2 million. So he asked for that and 4 parachutes. So, Austin, what's important about the 4 parachutes that people don't realize?
The 4 parachutes made everybody think, because the 4 parachutes isn't for 4 people. There's a back one that's your normal parachute. The front one would be a backup parachute. So there's 2 per person. So everybody on the plane is thinking, oh, he's taking a hostage.
Yes, exactly.
So there's no one that's going to stop him from trying to do this because they think he's taking someone.
Yeah, they're not going to give a fake one. If it was just, hey, give me one, they're going to be like,
they could give him a totally fake parachute and he would just fall to his death. But you have to give him real parachute because they thought he was taking someone.
Right. So, yeah, I mean, it's smart. So somebody right there, that first little question he asked is a smart.
He had this, I think he had this whole thing planned out to a T.
Right.
Every single move he made, every word he said was planned to a T way before he did this.
Yeah. So, Landon, why do you think he said, do you think there's any relevance to him saying he wants a second plane or a second refill to go to Mexico City? Do you have any reason why he would say Mexico City?
What I think is he was trying to throw him off and saying maybe he wants to flee the country, so he's going toward Mexico, so he's stopping at Mexico City, but he jumps off somewhere else.
Somewhere else, which the no refueling stop was in.
They were also in Seattle though, so he could have just asked to go to Canada.
Exactly. That's why I'm kind of curious on that.
You think he must have wanted to be able to have enough fuel on the plane to get somewhere far enough away from where they were in Seattle.
Right, mm-hmm. right.
That must, because you don't want to just hop across the border to Canada and be like, oh, yep, right. A few hundred miles from where we were.
Yeah, exactly. And so for people who don't know, and even for me, I wasn't born at this time. None of us were. but essentially in 1971, there was no security. There was no TSA. You weren't going through all the security. And
you just paid a little money.
You hopped on a plane. Like, that was it. So really, it was
as of 21 years ago today.
Oh, yes.
Today's 9/11.
Yes, and I was thinking about that when we said what episode we were doing today, and I was like, shit, we probably should have done the conspiracies on that, but out of the respect, I was like, you know what? That would piss some people off, so we'll do it another day, but again, sad moment, 9/11, you know, 21 years, you said, since that occurred? So,
it was, 2001, right?
Mm-hmm. 2001, so... I thought it was kind of a weird coincidence that we were doing a hijacked plane on the day, because I didn't think about it until I was driving home today and I was texting Austin going, hey, what time are you coming over? And I was like, shit, it's 9/11 and we're doing a hijacked plane. So that was a little weird to me, but
it was pre 9/11 though.
It was pre 9/11 by many years. But yeah, there was no TSA. There was no security. You could easily hijack a plane, and there'd only been a couple, like a handful before that.
And so I didn't know much about this case until recently. I started reading up on it, but I saw that he didn't pre-buy a ticket. It was normal for people to go up and pay for tickets in cash, and that's what he did. Nobody ID'd him or not anything. He just walked up, paid in $20 cash or whatever it was, and gave it whatever name he wanted, and he was on. Apparently, he had multiple identities, so he could have had multiple different names.
Right.
That's why they weren't able to identify him, because he has like 10,000 identities.
But D.B. Cooper out. Fits with the fact of what used to exist under the name D.B. Cooper.
Mm-hmm. And actually, it's not D.B. Cooper, it's just Dan Cooper.
It is Dan Cooper, but I know it was from a journalist who miswrote, but did they miswrite? Because here's the thing, what was D.B. Cooper before D.B. Cooper? It was a comic book.
Oh, yeah, with the pilot.
With a parachute
the
guy.
The Canadian.
No, yeah, it was the guy who parachuted out of planes.
And yeah, I heard he must have gotten the name from the comic.
And some people say he looks a little French-Canadian, too.
Yes.
I've heard that.
There are words, you know, there's word that he possibly was. And that would make sense for the location being next to Canada and where he's going. Good chance he was Canadian.
Mm-hmm.
So that goes into, Landon's watched all of them. You've watched a couple. I've watched a couple. Netflix, is it on? Yeah, yeah. Netflix.
D.B. Cooper, where are
how
you?
Yeah, how many episodes are there?
I think there's...
Six?
Six, seven?
Yeah.
It's hard to tell off the top of my head.
So you've watched them all.
Mm-hmm.
Who's the guy that you think it is?
Robert Rackstraw.
Robert Rackstraw.
Everything's pointing towards him.
Okay, so who is he?
So Robert Rackstraw, he used to be in the military. So he had parachute training and like flying and all that. And he got actually kicked out of the military for multiple identities.
Okay.
And
he was with the U.S. military.
Yeah, he worked with the U.S. military. And they also think it was a motive to get back at him for kicking him out. Because I don't think...
And that would make sense.
It was like a few years after he got kicked out, like 1 or 2 years, I think. And so they think that's his motive, but they haven't done anything because he also could have worked with the CIA. People are thinking.
I have heard many rumors that he worked with the CIA, and given how smart and planned out the possibility, you know, he had a good idea of what they were going to do. If I ask for one parachute, they're going to give me one shitty parachute and I'm dead.
He also knew exactly what plane he was on. He knew he was on a Boeing 727 and that the rear stair there. So the 727s have stairs that come out the rear bottom, like almost like a military plane.
Yeah.
So it basically gives you a place to jump off of when you want to jump out of a plane at altitude.
Right.
So he knew what he was flying on, and he knew what people would think if he asked for more than one set of parachutes.
So yeah, he was planned.
He was super planned out.
So go, Austin, go into the whole what he may have done with the back of the plane that we discussed beforehand.
Well, there's no way on those 727s back in the day. There was no physical way to actually stop that door with the stairs from opening. If you push the button, it opened. And there was nothing the pilot could do about it. All he could do was sit and look at the light that said it was open.
Right. So there's no lock. So he could.
Right. There's no electronic lock. There's no lockout. Nothing like that. If you push the button, the stairs are going to open whether you're in the air or not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what there's some theories too, because there's a lot of theories here.
Yeah.
And one of them is that when they're flying, he hops onto the back. He gets his parachutes. And he hops onto the back and he ends up bouncing on the plane on purpose, knowing it's going to give that, oh, he jumped, he pushed off and he jumped. And so they were given a description of a location because the pilots felt it. Pilots had a location where they felt it and they recorded that location. That may not have been where belief is that that's not where he jumped, that he faked it knowing they were going to record that bump as him leaving. And then he waited, and then he just slowly fell off of it, not leaving, you know, the bounce of the plane later on. And it's believed that he actually landed in Nevada, in Reno, because there's no trees. It's desert. And it does make some sense because it's, you think of Portland or Seattle. What is there?
Trees
everywhere.
That's very
You're going to catch a tree. You're going to catch something. You're gonna, a good chance you're going to die. But wouldn't you rather land in the desert with nothing and you can just boom?
And it's the dead night, so no one's looking at you?
Nobody's looking at you? I mean, that theory to me is a very strong theory. And where do people go with money?
Vegas.
Reno. Vegas. You know, you can become a new person in that. Even to today, standards of having a driver's license, having all this crap, you could go to Vegas and honestly disappear and become somebody totally different. And go down the strip, you can buy a new identity, and boom, you're a different person.
Mm-hmm.
Especially on the north side.
Right, right.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I like the Nevada idea in my mind.
It's also, it never really like sat right with me that he asked for the pilot to leave the landing gear down.
Okay.
While they were flying from Seattle towards maybe Mexico City.
To make his, when he bounces, to make it more wobbly, could be?
I don't know.
I'm not entirely sure what that was for, because I don't think the stairs are close enough to the landing gear for him to have climbed onto one of the landing gears and possibly have just stayed there for a little bit and then hopped off somewhere.
Right, there's no way.
I don't think it's close enough for that.
It's not.
So I'm not entirely sure why he asked for that. That's one thing I could never figure out.
I never knew he actually asked for that.
Yeah. So
the landing gears and the parts on the wing that fold down for landing.
The flaps.
He asked for the flaps and the landing gears to be down the whole flight.
And maybe that was because that slows down. So anything out is drag. You got your landing gear.
You're right.
That produces drag. Then your flaps also produces drag. But
you're right, because they were saying that the following F-16s or whatever was following him, they had to keep circling the plane because they couldn't fly at the slow speeds that the liner was flying at, because they had all the flaps and the
It was too slow for an F-16 in the air to stay.
So they couldn't keep eyes on the back of the plane.
Exactly. Somebody knew what he was fucking doing, man. Like,
but there is one thing that he didn't. But they still can't figure his tie. He left on the plane.
He did leave his tie.
And there's so much stuff they found on there.
Didn't they find stuff from Boeing?
Yeah, titanium antinom alloy. You can right. only find it in like TV manufacturers or Boeing. Like Boeing whatever it. Plane was it.
So maybe he wasn't military. Maybe he was a dude who knew a lot because he worked for Boeing. I mean, but again, he could be a mechanic or something for the military and probably get that same stuff on his tie. I know they tested it, but that was a couple things that they had because it was the only thing left behind.
Mm-hmm. But also his cigarette butts were left behind, but magically they got destroyed.
Sounds like the FBI, all right.
Magically, it was like Hunter's laptop.
But
we don't need to go into that.
I had to put it out there. But yeah, I mean, and back then DNA and everything was new.
Yeah.
It was not where it is today. It was not as accurate. It wasn't as strong. So it wasn't as big of a thing to pick up cigarette butts or, you know, try to pull fingerprints off of the seat handles like you would today. That just wasn't really a thing yet. So, you know, it was new to them, but he played it smart.
Yeah.
I don't know. So, what's his name? Robert Rackshaw. Mm-hmm. He died.
Yeah, he died of, like, heart attack, I think.
Yeah, because everyone's chasing him thinking he's fucking D.B. Cooper. Stressed him out. Mm. Jesus.
Well, he never said no.
Yeah.
He never did say no. This is true. So,
whenever they asked, he just said, I can't talk about that.
Mm-hmm. But maybe he was just loving the...
I know. You kind of think of it like he could have just been loving the attention or...
What better way to get the attention than me? Like, I just can't talk about it.
Right.
Then why would he run, though? He ran a lot.
The attention. Because you run makes you look what? Guilty.
Yeah.
You look guilty. He may have loved that attention and was just feeding off. He probably went back to his house every night, was having drinks, laughing at the fucking people that were outside his home, going, we got him. And he's like, yeah, you do. Or whatever. You know, and he's just fucking having a blast with it. Because honestly, if people thought I was D.B. Cooper, I'd probably run with it too. I'd be like, yeah, I can't talk about that right now. I got to go and just leave it there because that leaves so much mystery behind. You're like, wait a minute. He's not going to talk to us? Like, it's him. Mm-hmm. He would just tell us it wasn't him if it wasn't him, but he's not. So it has to be him. I mean, you could.
There, like, he did an interview. He was like, if I was, I would tell you. Like, he said something that was very weird.
Right.
How long is he?
Right. Hi, Amber. Okay, Amber's flashing us. She had her shirt on. Calm down, social services. But yeah, I mean, that leaves mystery. When you walk away with no answer, leaves the mystery. Mm-hmm. And he may have just been playing on it. Maybe he was him, but maybe he was just like, I'm loving this fucking attention.
Yeah, maybe he's like trying to play it off like that. Maybe he wasn't, but he was.
I totally would have. I had news reporters outside going, hey, it's DB. Yeah, no comment, man. I can't talk about what happened. And walk inside. They'd be like, wait, you can't talk about what happened? Mm-hmm. That means he was there.
I saw interviews, I guess they were kind of interviews with him, and he always spoke...
carefully.
It wasn't exactly like carefully. He just knew what words to avoid and what he could say.
Right.
Without actually admitting to anything.
Or maybe a guy that says,
or he was just innocent and just playing everything,
right? He just may have like really thought it out at home, been like, okay, when they ask this.
Or maybe he was part of the process. Because
what do you mean deeper in there, buddy.
Yeah, there's a guy who says he knows about it. There was a group of people that helped him on the ground. Okay. With like a car and disclosing his parachute and all that. This like old guy. And they said there was like three or four people that helped him on the ground in Seattle.
Okay.
With a car.
Do you think, I know it's off the movie, but I know it is actually a possibility off of Without a Paddle. They get the location wrong due to the mm-hmm. iron in the mountain. So there is a lot of iron and a lot of metals in the mountains over Seattle, Oregon. And if he's using a compass, is there some belief, there's some true to the fact that compass may have been wrong to where he was supposed to land and he ended up just dying, landing in wherever? Do you think that's possible?
No.
I mean, I don't... With how smart and how planned out this thing was and how specific he was about which parachutes he wanted.
Right.
I don't think there was any possibility that he wasn't able to pull that cord, and he had the backup and he obviously knew about the kind of parachute. So I feel like he would have been able to pull cords and actually get a parachute in the air.
Right.
So I don't really think that he died.
I think he was an agent, in all honesty. So I've been a cop for 18 years, and I would have never thought, give me four parachutes so they don't give me a dummy. I honestly wouldn't have thought that. It makes me think, like, was he in a negotiation team on the FBI or some sort of like federal agency? He knew the protocols to a T. Because I wouldn't have thought of that. I'd have been like, fucking give me a parachute. I'm jumping out of this bitch. And I would have had the dummy and died.
Right. Or learn from people you have cases on or whatever.
Exactly. You're like, oh, over these years,
oh, I saw this one guy. He asked for four parachutes. And, oh, this one guy.
Bingo.
He did this. And this guy. If I put all these things together, I think I could have the perfect.
Right. Because you do.
Perfect crime.
I could right now commit a murder and you're not going to know about it based off of what I've learned in law enforcement. Simple as that. So is he learning the same things? And he took it and he's like, fucking retirement, baby. Here we go.
Right. And that guy, Robert Rackstraw.
Yeah.
He, in the documentary on Netflix, they showed him with a boat that said, fuck poverty.
I did see that.
Or that was the name of the boat, I think.
Yeah. Chelsea, what do you think? As Chelsea walks in. Yeah. What? I don't know. I don't even know who I am. That's a pretty funny name. It would have been even more funny if he named it like something like DB Cooper, just to fuck with people.
Mm-hmm. And actually.
Or like BD Cooper or something.
Right. Just change it a little bit.
I think he...
Or good luck.
Because like, he owns a boatyard here in Colorado.
Wait. What?
You didn't know that?
I didn't fucking know that.
Yeah, he owned his own little boat thing in Colorado.
Bullshit.
In the documentary, that's...
Which lake?
I don't know. It said it was...
Probably Chatfield.
I don't know. It was in the... You can see it at the end when they're interviewing him. Oh, he man. Has it in Colorado. I've told you this.
You did not tell me this.
Yes, I have.
Let me look up Mr. Rock. Or sorry, Robert Rackshaw. Dude, I had no fucking idea. Yeah. Robert.
Or it just has the name Colorado.
Rackshaw. Colorado. Dude, that'd be badass. Rackshaw. Suspect was RFBI. San Diego. I don't see anything on Colorado.
Because it was like...
Maybe it was just like... The dock was named Colorado. You know, it's hard to say.
Because at the end it says something yard, Colorado.
Huh. Right now. Well, so another big thing was everyone had the same description of this guy except for one guy. One guy had a lot more detail. Everyone said he was kind of like looking kind of high class, like... professional and this and that, and he had this one dude who said no, like he had a JCPenney's tie. It was, you know, it was very shuffled, nothing was put together nice, there was wrinkles in his shirt, but everyone else is like he looked like a professional man. But you had one that was like very detailed and was like, nah, he looked like shit, like he pulled that stuff out like fucking Goodwill.
What if he was Men in Black?
Right.
Yeah, so, that little light and all the other passengers, but the one that like blinked at the right time.
Right? Yeah. You're like, wait a minute, what? So it was kind of funny to see that everyone had the same, and then there was just one out of the blue, like, no, this dude looked like a fucking chum. I thought that was a little weird. But maybe you're just not noticing people on the plane. I mean, I don't really pay attention to everybody.
Not
on the plane.
All people are very observant.
Right. I mean, I'll watch people get on just from police days to be like, all right, who's my fucking problem? But beyond that, like as time's gone on, I don't look at people as much. I just chill and I have a good time, put on my headphones and I fucking do what I do. So, but to see that one guy throw in the mix, like, hey, no, this dude looked like shit, and everyone else said he looked professional, is a little weird that just one out of like 10 witnesses. I always thought that was kind of funny. Mm-hmm. But who's the other? There's another guy they believed to be him.
There's my favorite one, which I think is like out of the blue. This man that turned a woman like really close to the hijacking.
Okay.
And it was one of the suspects. Nothing went with them. That was the only thing.
And it was a suspect. Do you remember the name?
Can
look up.
No.
Tranny. suspects. DB Cooper. Let's see. didn't really. There's three suspects who could be. Let's see who it says here. Sorry, we got the family out there all having a good old time. We need a door on that.
Mm-hmm.
Chelsea, go get a door. No, I'm just kidding.
Go all the way to Home Depot.
All the way. you need a bigger butt to block out. Sorry. and a note, the FBI did close a case in 2016
mm-hmm.
is when it finally was closed. I know there was a lot of anger
and
out
they,
of that.
They actually got sued.
Yeah. Well, they were sued by the people investigating it who were like private investigators. How much was found, Austin?
Of the money?
Yeah.
They said
40.
I heard 5,800.
5,800. Where was that found?
It was found on a beach, which actually with that
it was a lake.
Lake beach.
20 miles outside of the search area that they thought that they where he would have landed. And the search area was quite large.
Well, it have to be. It shit.
Because the plane's traveling so fast. If he jumps 2 seconds or if he jumps 2 seconds after he was going to jump, I mean, that's a difference of hundreds and hundreds of feet.
But totally. Like, turns into miles.
Turns into miles this, very quickly.
Yeah.
This person, they figured out he wasn't, but he was in a bar with some friends. And the kid that found it, he was like, I'm D.B. Cooper. He tried convincing all his friends. And he was like, in a few days, that kid's going to find some of my money. The kid finds some money from D.B. Cooper.
That's a little crazy. There's no doubt about that. They screened over 1,800 suspects.
It was like 1,000 suspects in all.
It is weird, though, that they never found, because he asked for 200,000.
Correct.
They've never found any of the other $194,200
right
in any of those serial numbers have never come up in circulation.
Yeah,
it's only the 5,800 that they found that matched the serial numbers.
That's what makes me think possibly that he died or where. I mean, you could launder the money. But then you're putting your name out there. Somebody's going to turn you in for that because they had cash rewards from the FBI.
I think it was like $20,000 for him.
Yeah, which is a lot of money back then. You know, that's $100,000 today. And I don't know because what are you going to do with that? What are you going to do with all that money if you can't circulate it? I mean, you could, I guess, go to slow. You'd have to be very slow and methodical about it and be like, or you're in another country or you do go to Mexico or you go to Canada where it's not traced as much. Our money in Mexico is not traced. I mean, come on. So
right,
that would like be a smart
traded
move.
In at a currency exchange or something.
Right.
Because I don't know. Does that cash even come back after it gets traded in? No, it doesn't.
No, it stays there.
It stays out there and they use it to trade back and forth.
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, it's possible he took that money and he boogied to Mexico or Canada and immediately went across the border. He obviously, that's a large amount. You're not going to do it all in one shot, but maybe every couple weeks he went and exchanged $10,000. $10,000.
You go buy a car wash.
Good. You could.
Walter White.
Money laundering.
Oh, Jesus, right? God, I was trying to think, but there was a way somebody said to launder money that was super smart, and I was like, fuck, that's right.
Using a laundromat?
Laundromat. I mean, casinos are obviously
laundromats are good because it's all cash.
Yeah, a casino.
Casinos.
But again, he could have.
There are now you can use cards at casinos.
You can use cards, but back then, did he land in Reno in the desert, go launder that money right away with the mob, pay them $50,000 to fucking clean his money, and got the hell out of there? There you go. That may have been a reason for the Reno stop and not Seattle.
Very well could be. I don't know how big Vegas was back then.
But he was in Reno. He went in Vegas. Whatever. Reno was big back then. And Reno, even to today, Reno is a very shady place. They call it
I've never been.
They call it like the littlest big town in America. And it's a fun place. It's just a mini Vegas, but it's just as fucking shady. So, and even back then, the mob was running Reno just as well as Vegas. So you could easily go in there and be like, yo, I'll give you $50,000 right now. You clean the rest of my money. Bam. So now he's walking out with what today would be $2 million. He's now down to, you know, $1.5 million. Okay. easy payday to give them money and shut their mouth. You know, they're not checking IDs. So maybe that was the reason for the Reno stop. Quick money laundering to get it. I think we solved this. He fucking went to Reno. He fucking landed in Reno. He laundered the money, and he's still there.
We gotta get the FBI.
His name's Daniel Negreanu. Fucking greatest poker player ever. So, and so everyone who listens, Landon won first place in his poker game, in our house game, and won a shit ton of money. Kid's a great Texas Hold'em player, so you'll see him on TV in a few years when he actually is legal to play. Now the fucking cops are gonna show up at my door because of this, but yeah, he plays great. But I'm really thinking Reno now. Now that I think about it, it'd be the quickest way to launder your money. Because if you go to Mexico, even if you go to Mexico, you're taking a hit somewhere, and you don't know if you're getting screwed. Because I went to Mexico with the 100 grand, and I was like, hey, exchange it for the pesos. I may look up the rate exchange on my phone. Back then, you couldn't. You had to go off the word of what they had on the sign saying the rate exchange was. Right now, I can go on my phone and be like, oh, no, you're fucking me. The rate exchange is this. Not then. So could they? Did he not want to take the chance to go to Mexico to do that and lose out, or just pay somebody in the mob to take care of it?
The fact that none of the bills ever show up in circulation kind of tells me it's got to be either mob or casinos.
Casinos.
I don't know where the money goes from casinos, but.
And how often are those checked, especially in those years? I don't think it was as big as now, because if it goes across the bank, I believe they scan them and certain numbers will pop up for something. But back then, 1971, I don't think they had that technology to scan all that money. So it'd be easy to go into Vegas and be like, hey, I'm going to exchange this for chips, and then fucking gamble for 10 minutes and walk out and cash out your chips. And now you got brand new money.
We didn't even have fax machines at that point.
No. So I, the Reno is really starting to stick with me is where this went. And who actually, one of the biggest theorists for the Reno thing was an FBI agent. And I forget the guy's name, but he was an FBI agent.
The name is right there.
Right? I can't remember. And he worked for the FBI. It wasn't his case, but he was big into the case. So once he retired, it became like his life. And he's the one who believed it was Reno. And I am buying that a lot now that I think about the money laundering aspect of it. Because where else are you going to go? Because you're playing a chance if you go to Canada, right? Because you got to cross the border. If he landed in Seattle or Portland, whatever, he's still going to have to go either try to sneak across the border or legally go across. Do you want to take that chance when you just robbed a plane and maybe there's a description of you and it matches, or some information you messed up somewhere? Would you want to take the chance trying to cross the border? I don't know. Where would you go? Vegas, fucking Reno. You disappear.
I bet he probably didn't have any contact with any law enforcement after the fact of doing that.
No. How many murderers do you see now? Like, oh, we finally caught so-and-so. It's been 40 years. He's been on the run. I mean, it happens all the time.
No, I don't think he tried to cross the border.
Exactly.
Honestly,
exactly.
He probably didn't even try to leave the state that he landed in.
Which would, in my mind, be Reno. Mm-hmm.
Where
are you going to launder
money
in Seattle?
Nevada is a big-ass state.
Yeah, where are you going to money launder in Seattle? The fish market? I mean, there's nowhere you would go. Portland, same thing. There's nowhere you would go. But we all in the world know where you can money launder. Las Vegas or Reno. Two biggest places for money laundering. And the easiest, man, you just go in the casino and change it out. Ah, dude, I'm sold on it. It's fucking, he landed in Reno.
Wasn't the mob pretty big back then?
Huge.
Too? Yeah,
huge.
It was. Yeah,
the mob owned Reno and Vegas.
Yeah,
hands down.
They owned like a bunch of states.
Yeah, they built that fucking. Yeah, I mean, yeah, I'm pretty sold on that. But, now Chance, of course, we talk about he could have died. We could be totally fucking wrong.
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
He definitely. I mean. Since we don't know for sure, he definitely could have. And there's plenty of land between where he could have jumped and where he started from that, I mean, there's no real way to search every square inch of everything.
Right.
I mean, at this point, I was watching him search around in these new videos. He could be sitting under a bush that you walk by because it's been so long.
Right.
And it's just overgrown. Like, there's... I don't even see the point of looking anymore.
Exactly. There's no point at this point. Yeah, so...
I think years on, the FBI is finally going to say something.
They've even tried, like, recreating his fall while parachuting. They're like, oh, well, he might have been tumbling, so you need to tumble while you're falling, and now you might land where he might have landed. At this point, you even happen to find something. I mean, you got to be down digging.
Yeah, yeah, totally, totally. All right. We took a little pause, so we're back. I ended that abruptly. So, yeah. So I guess we can start hopping into kind of the final thoughts on this, Landon. One thing I do have a question. Why the 5,800, 5,300? Why at that lake?
Because I think there's something that has to match up with that guy. That said, that kid... He's going to find that money. He points to his friend, the exact kid, the exact location, says he's going to find that money. I don't know if he said how much, but he said that kid's going to find the money. I think it was like 3 days later.
There's a random guy in the bar.
Yeah. But nope. No, it was his friend. He's been saying it for like weeks.
Do we have a name? For weeks? You mean years?
I don't remember. It's been a little minute.
They said that the money showed up... 3 years after the hijacking.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I'm sure they've searched this whole fucking lake.
What people are confused about is like, why did it take 3 years to get to that point? Is because water flows fairly quickly in rivers. Mm-hmm. So if he had landed in a river and it fell out and it just wandered downstream, it wouldn't have taken so long to get there. It would have been there within a few days or a day.
Right. That's and why just that amount? Is just that amount fell out of the sack? I mean, that's, I don't know. That seems weird. I feel like that was just like a toss out amount to throw them off the track. Oh, hey, here's a little bit of the cash.
Didn't really count it, just
right. He just grabbed a handful and chucked it out into the lake and called it good.
The money also looked like super tattered up. Like you could only read like the center bills in the rolls.
Hmm. Wonder why that is. If it was just the water,
it looked rotten, kind of. So it could have been sitting in there for a while.
Maybe it is where he landed. Maybe he fucking landed there and he boogied and a little bit fell out on the land.
I don't know what money looks like after sitting in water for 3 years.
Right.
Day in and day out.
We're going to test that. All right. We're going to get a bucket. We're going to put money in there. We're going to check it in 3 years.
$5,000 in a bucket.
I'm just kind of curious on that. It seems just like a small amount, but maybe it just fell out of the sack when he landed. Maybe that's where he landed. Maybe he landed in water.
But
it's a softer spot.
But it's more dangerous.
It can be, but if you know what you're doing, you're a fucking like Navy SEAL.
He probably learned how to parachute in water because he was a fighter pilot.
So they think.
No, that's what he was in the Army.
Who?
Like if it was Robert Rackstraw.
Oh, okay. If it was Robert. Then that would make sense. Then he would know how to survive parachuting and landing in water.
If you land in a river... Water takes your scent. You don't land on land for a bloodhound to
Jesus Christ, to smell that's some you. Smart shit right there. Mm-hmm. That's right, because it does. It will take that scent down the river and it spreads it.
Well, because you're not actually contacting dry dirt. The water is taking your scent down, and your scent that's above the water is just going to go with the wind. I mean, if you don't have a bloodhound there in hours, it's gone. I mean, I think it's what, 24 hours, and the bloodhound can't even...
And the search criteria was so large, that would make sense. Nah, they're not going to get a bloodhound. I don't know where the hell I jumped out of this plane.
Some kind of dog.
Where was this lake? Let me find this up here. D.B. Cooper Lake, where money was found. Because, I don't know, let's see. 19, young boy found $5,800 in cash on the banks of Columbia River in Vancouver, Washington.
That's all the way across the state.
Well, that's going to be right on the border.
Not state.
So, did he go to Canada?
Dan Cooper.
Or, I mean,
fucking DB,
he could have even just, he could have just thrown, had, because the stewardess said she saw him tying something to his waist and she thought it was the money. And so what if he took some money out and threw it off the plane and then
kept going
and did the jumping thing like you were talking about.
Yeah.
To make the pilot think that he jumped. So the money kind of lands up
where some of
the money lands up where he did the bounce and then he goes on to do whatever.
I'm still sticking with Reno. I'm in agreement with that. Maybe he chucked that money out the
The money in Vancouver.
Did his little bounce match up with his where he may have left.
And then just left the door open and jumped out in Reno.
I'm Reno bound. Landon, final thoughts on this. Where do you think, or do you think it's Rackshaw? Like it's fucking him. Why so strong on that? Like you were set on that. You mentioned it today, all day. You're like, it's Rackshaw. I don't care.
Because everything points him. Coding points him. All the training, he has that perfect, qualified for all of this.
Okay.
And he has had multiple identities, a sketchy past. He killed his brother.
Did he go to jail?
No, there was something I forget all about, but he killed his brother or like shot him.
He killed the dude who found out the truth.
His brother or it was some family member of his he killed.
You talk, I'll slit your throat. That's how that went down.
No, he shot him in the back of the head.
Oh, well then he was probably sitting in the closet counting the money that his brother had stolen and smoked that fool. Mm-hmm. Hey, two can keep a secret if one's dead. All right, so lessons for you kids out there.
There was a coding. I think he like sent like a coded letter or some. There was code that said like Sergeant Robert Rackstraw. Or it was like...
All right. There's a lot that leads it to be him. Mm-hmm. I honestly think we're going to have to do a second part of this. Austin, where you at? What are you thinking?
I mean, the Robert Rackstraw theory seems pretty sound. And the FBI seemed pretty confident that that was their guy. But for some reason, they never arrested him.
CIA?
Don't have enough evidence.
Or just the fact that they think he was part of CIA.
No, they had so much evidence. They actually...
What evidence they have? You need the money and you need proof that bitch was on the plane. All his life... Damn. Zoe! It's our dog whacking it. Just because your life matches up to it isn't evidence.
No, there was something. There was something else that was like evidence.
Right. We are innocent until proven guilty.
That's right.
Not the other way around.
Exactly. So they did the right thing in not arresting him.
But they went to court and then it just like, I think it got like abruptly stopped.
We'll look more into it. We're going to do a part two of this. I want to dig deeper into it. Because I know there were some other suspects. I want to say there's two or three that were involved that they truly believed. There's one guy who claimed, I know one guy claimed on his deathbed that, hey, I was D.B. Cooper. Did he just say it because he's dying?
I'd say it when I'm dying.
And I'm thousands of people called in saying, oh, my, like, lost cousin. I think it's D.B. Cooper.
Looks like the picture.
Yeah.
You imagine how much that would mess with your family?
He looks like an average man.
Yes.
They're your literally last words, and then like seconds later, you're gone. They just have questions.
Dude, I hope I can
end. It's just questions.
I hope I can end like that and just say I'm somebody who's fucking like crazy, like some serial murderer or something. I was Ted Bundy. Like, what? And then you're just done. Like, how fucking cool would that be? When I get to that age, I'm gonna find somebody that's famous for something crazy that would kind of match up with me, just a little.
No, just become enough. Your old. Do your own crime.
Do my own crime and then say I was him.
Or when you're right there, you say I hid the money, and then you're gone,
and then it's over. I won't jump into mine because I think it was Reno. I think it went to Reno. I think he landed there. I think he fucking laundered that money and he got a new identity and life was over.
The landing spot is the only thing that I'm still not like really strong on. It keeps changing every time I hear something else.
Right. So.
Yeah.
Anything else you guys want to add?
No.
No? No?
I think that's... That's quite pretty much everything I know.
Right. Same here. I think we're going to definitely study up some more of it, go over it again. I think this is definitely a part two episode. We're sitting at 45 minutes. I think we could definitely hit out another 45 and kind of dig deeper into it. I love it though. I think it's super cool, the whole thing, but
it's interesting because he was able to keep everyone calm.
Yeah.
And all the passengers said when they got off, they said they didn't even know they were part of a hijacking.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It was all so calm. There's no casualties. And the guy, he's like, I want my money. I don't want to cause any trouble, but I want the money and I want parachutes.
You know, this dude was dripping in bitches. Like, he just, with this kind of calmness under that kind of situation, this dude was the man. So, yeah, I think we'll continue this another time. Part two?
Yeah.
Part two.
Sure.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, everyone, for joining. We'll see you next time.